technology and the sea. Fascination Marine Technology. A podcast by Bärbel Feening in cooperation with the German Association for Marine Technology, GMT. Hi, and welcome to this podcast episode in which we get to know the man who's responsible for 8 German research vessels, who manages them, and together with a dedicated team of 15 people ensures that there's always what's needed on board so that important scientific experiments can be carried out and we can get to know our oceans better. Klaus Küper is head of the research department at the shipping company Brise in Leer. Here, everything revolves around the 8 research vessels. By the way, such a research vessel is an exciting and interesting place to work. Klaus Küper told me that 250 seamen work there. And he told me how it all began with his love to the sea and about a dramatic experience he had as a 70-year-old deck boy that left a lasting impression on him. He sank with his ship in the English Channel and only just survived the sinking. What all that was like and how it still affects his work today, he tells us himself in the course of this podcast episode. But first, of course, it's about the research vessels on which marine technology is used. Klaus Küper is responsible for the following ships: Sonne, Meteor, Alcor, Elisabethmann Borghese, Heinke, Litorinia, Maria Esmerian and Senckenberg. I wanted to know exactly what does it mean to manage a research vessel? What is needed on board?
Ship management does mean that we are taking care for all facilities on board of the vessel. So let's talk about bunkering. We are taking care for the fact that the vessel is very well equipped with the material, provision and so on. So we are responsible that the scientists using those vessels can rely on us, that the vessel is at that place at that date. They are planning since 2 years.
Let's be specific. Let's talk about one of your research vessels, the research vessel Sonne, which left the port of Emden in November 2021. What did you have to prepare until then?
We are taking care for everything regarding the vessel so that the vessel is fit to sail, is well equipped. That's not taking place in Emden only, but also worldwide because the vessels are sailing worldwide. We are taking care for the technical matters for the maintenance, that because the difference between freighters and research vessels is that usually those scientific vessels operating more than 40 years. That's a challenge because the maintenance must be 100%, but also the scientific equipment which is on board and brought on board has to be in a good condition, and that's the daily challenge for us.
How many days a year is a research vessel underway?
Well, if it's up to the owners, it's 365 days. And to be honest, it's not like that, because sometimes the vessel has to go to the port. But talking about the research vessel Sonne, we are planning those trips sometimes for 6 or 7, even 8 or 9 weeks, so that the research vessel is at sea for more than 2 months. So you don't have so much time at all to be in the port. So I would say it's 320 days a year the vessel should be at sea.
And you have your network around the world to manage?
Yes, that's what we have, because we are lucky that we have our big mother company, Brise Schifffahrt, which is quite a huge company with freighters trading worldwide, around 130 vessels, but also with our 100% sister company, BBC, which has agencies worldwide on every continent. So that's a matter where we can rely on that we have some agents. We call them agents, nothing to do with James Bond. But so we have agents in every port They are supporting us with the local authorities, with the local logistic, because you can imagine we have to send a lot of provision and material to the vessels, but not only that, but also crew members and scientists. And so if they reach the port, they are not on the vessel already. So they have to pass immigration and everything before they can go on board. And that's what the agents are helping us with. And that's quite good to have a huge network. That's what we have, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest challenge for you?
The biggest challenge is that we have to fulfill the requirements or the wishes of our clients, because the clients are planning those scientific trips 2 years ahead, because there are a lot of things to do before they can join the vessel. And so if they join the vessel, they want to rely 100% the vessel is at the place at the time they are dealing with since 2 years. And so that's a big challenge, because those vessels are trading not only worldwide, but in sometimes in ports I have never heard before. So that is quite a challenge regarding logistic, because there you don't have maybe not so many vessels coming to the port to bring things to the sauna which are needed. And you can imagine that on several places you cannot go to the market and shop some fruits only, and then start again a scientific route maybe for 6 or 8 weeks. So that's a challenge, to be always equipped and ready to sail for the scientific crew when they come on board.
How many people live on board of a research vessel?
Yeah, that depends a bit on the vessel. If we are talking about the sauna, we are talking about 32 crew members and 40 scientists. So you have 72 members of staff on board. And that's quite a big family. And because you have to know, it's not only a working place, but also a living place where they are together for 7, 8, maybe 10 weeks, seeing water only, because they are not going to another port, but staying at the Pacific Ocean, for example, or Atlantic, for that quite long time. So that's it's up to the cook to manage it, to make the people
it's
happy.
Very important.
And because otherwise they have their work only. But then again, the scientists are planning this trip since 2 years. And that's why they are very enthusiastic when they are on board. So they are not bored about the water only around them, because they are focusing on their scientific work.
What's the difference on research vessels? Are there countless laboratories? Or?
Yeah, the difference between freighters and research vessels is huge, because freighters, they bring containers or heavy lift or whatsoever from one port to the other. With the research vessels, as mentioned before, we are staying 6, 8, maybe 10 weeks on the Atlantic. We have to have enough fuel on board. We have to have enough water on board, provision on board. And our freight is we don't have a freight like that, because it's about passengers or scientists. Maybe for the first time on board, never been on board before. So that's very special for them, because I left mom and dad for the first time and being on a vessel like that for 8 weeks, seeing water only, very special. coming back to your question, yes, the difference between the vessels is, of course, the equipment. As you mentioned already, a lot of laboratories, but also very special equipment to locate everything what is in the water, but also in the air. So we have a lot of scientists on board using all the equipment 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Mm. And there is a lot of marine technology on a research vessel. What's the most fascinating marine tech for you? Because I think you've got insight.
Yeah, of course, it's fantastic what the scientists develop on their own, sometimes very special equipment, but also with, of course, other partners. They are developing a lot of new technology. For us, it's very interesting to do the research in, let's say, big depth, like 12,000 meters, which is quite long, as you can imagine. You need a very special equipment. You have a lot of pressure in that depth. And that's the challenge on one side for the scientists to develop those equipment. And for us, it's the challenge to be prepared to manage that and to maybe to maintain and do not harm anything. That would be a disaster if such scientific equipment does not work. Let's say you start with the scientific cruise and 1 week later this equipment is not working anymore. That's a disaster for the scientists. Yeah. That's what we do as well, helping them sometimes to repair those things. And that's a challenge, and not only for us ashore, of course, but of course also for the crew on board, which is well trained but is also very enthusiastic to help those scientists to get their goal.
Mm. It's a very high investment being on board of a research vessel, and all these marine tech also is very expensive.
That's it. Yeah, it's very expensive. And as mentioned before, sometimes it's a development made for a special cruise only. And so it's a very special thing. You cannot go to Amazon or somewhere else and order another one, because it's a very specialized thing. Yeah.
What else does Brise Shipping do besides Brise Research?
Yeah, Brise Research is just a very small part within the mother company. We have around 130 vessels trading worldwide and have a lot of vessels ordered in the meantime, because the development at the moment is quite good. What we are doing is not doing a lot of container transport, but working with heavy lift and special goods. And so that's our main topic. And that's why we are still here in this little town of Lea, where a lot of other shipping companies had a lot of trouble. And to be honest, it was not easy the last 10 years. But now everything is developing very fine, and we are very well located here in Lea. And we have a very, I would say, a stable and bright future at the moment, because the market is developing fine, and we have a lot of good sailors on board as well. So 130 vessels, you can imagine. We have around 2,000 people always on board of the vessels. So, it's a good business, I guess.
But being responsible for the research vessels is a good deal. How did you get this?
Yes, it was, I wouldn't say a coincidence, but a senior boss, Rolf Brise, came to me and said, let's have a look at those papers. It looks like they are doing a kind of quotation for research vessels. And I took a look into this quotation and I said, well, that is a very special market. So I had to contact a lot of people to get a feeling for that, what research vessel is about and what they are doing. It's mostly German flag, of course. It's German sailors only, very special, because usually shipping is very international. And this is all German. And what I have to say was I was very surprised that it was mentioned that the working language on board those vessels is German.
Oh,
and
really?
So we had a lot of manuals, which we had to take care of, so that we had to produce them in German language. So that was in 2004 when we won that quotation with the vessels Maria Esmerian, which was still in a working process because the shipbuilding was not finished yet. The vessel was delivered in 2006. And then we were taking care for the Poseidon, the Alcor, the Maria Esmerian. And those days it was the Professor Albrecht Penck, later replaced by the Elisabeth Mann-Borgese. So that was the first step, to have some very special vessels. And when we were taking care for that, we saw that it is a very special matter to take care for. So that's why I left my former position in Brise Schifffahrt, where I was taking care for the crew on board of all the freighters, because I said, well, this is a very special matter. Here we have very international shipping, very quick solutions. And here we have German only, German language. And we have other clients which are talking more about any solutions before they come to a solution. And that's to say it like that.
Yes.
And so I said to Mr. Brise, well, I have to wear two hats. I can't do that anymore. So that's why we separated that. And I said, well, when we are separating that, we are going to continue to develop that department. And that's why we were lucky, of course, but also because we had already made a lot of for the scientists, and they saw that we can run those vessels. That's why we took over the Meteor and later the Sonne, which has been built in Meyer, Papenburg. And so that's when we started 2014 with the Sonne. And one more difference is with the freighters, you're looking for the freight, where is the freight, and maybe you are on the spot market and not on a liner service. But with the research vessels, we are planning long ahead, not only the scientific trips. We are taking, what I said before, they are planning 2 years ahead. But if you have a contract to take care for the research vessel, it's a contract which lasts very long. For example, with the Sonne, we took over in 2014, and the contract is lasting until 2024. And there is another prolongation for another 5 years possible. Depends on how you did the work. And if the client is satisfied, he's going to prolong that contract until 2029. So that's a quite good position we are in. Once again, we have a long time ahead for the planning. That makes a lot. But on the other side, then everything has to work.
Mm. Nothing spontaneous.
Nothing spontaneous, no.
But there is a new research vessel to be built.
Yeah, we are very happy that we are taking care for that fact already, for the new building for quite a long time, more than 1 year. We are discussing with our clients how the vessel should look like. It's a bit like the now very well known and is liked by the scientists as well. So the Sonne, it's quite similar to the Sonne. And we are happy to be part of this ship building project once again, since we once started with the Maria Esmerian to take care for the new building, then the Sonne, and now the new Meteor. The Meteor, which is still trading at the moment, is at the sea at the moment, close to South America at the moment, and mostly working in the Atlantic, as the Poseidon did as well, which has been sold in the meantime 2 years ago. And the new Meteor is going to replace the old Meteor and the Poseidon together. So that's a challenging matter we are dealing with until end of 2025, 26, beginning 26. Mm-hmm. The vessel is going to be delivered, and we are taking care for that management as well, at least for another 10 years, maybe 15 years. So that gives us an opportunity to look quite stable into the future.
Have you been to sea yourself?
Yes, I started to go out to sea as well, despite the wishes of my parents, especially my father, who has been a captain as well. I have been on board several times to visit him. And of course, if you are the son of the captain, it's another matter if you start to your career at sea. And he did a lot of things to convince me not going to sea, but as sometimes it is like that. And suddenly I didn't want to continue to go to school anymore and say, well, let's go to sea. So he was not happy, but then he managed as well to have a contact to a former colleague of him who was working at a shipping company. And so it was very easy for me that day to get a contract to become an, as we call it, able-bodied seaman. And yeah, that's how it was starting in 1980. So long time ago.
And was it a good experience?
It was a good experience. It was a special experience because the colleagues of that shipping company phoned me several times and said, well, you are going to join the vessel in India. You are going to join the vessel in Japan. And I was so happy because I wanted to leave. I wanted to leave the little town Leia and I want to go to a worldwide sea. And suddenly he said, well, I'm going to pick you up tomorrow. In my car, okay.
to India.
Why? To India. Not to India. No. We are going to Copenhagen, okay? With a small car like that? Yes, okay. So the car was full of equipment to be brought to the vessel. I was sitting there underneath a very big mirror, I remember, and which has to be brought on board as well. And when he was in Copenhagen, the vessel was not there. And he was phoning the company and said, where's the vessel? Ah, it's in Helsingborg. Okay, let's go to Helsingborg.
No problem.
So that's why we proceeded to Helsingborg, where I joined the vessel, which was a roll-on, roll-off carrier, calling EMS, FOS EMS, and was trading in the North Sea and Baltic Sea. Very, very quick underway. We were trading to mostly between Sweden, Norway, and England. And I was on board for just 2 months when we had a collision with another vessel very close to the coast of England. And that was a special experience because I was just a 17-year-old boy when the vessel sank. Because after the collision, the vessel sank very quickly. I had the chance to leave the vessel in time. And when I was more or less safe on a kind of life-saving equipment like a float, I was turning my head and the vessel was away. So that was a very special experience because, as you can imagine, a vessel is not only the area where you work, but also where you live. And that's why it was a very special experience because I was 100% sure that I was safe on the vessel and not that suddenly the whole equipment is gone.
Yeah, you were 17 and you were inexperienced. And
yes, I was 17, inexperienced, and that helped a lot because until I left the vessel, I didn't expect it to do so because I said everything is going to be managed somehow. So that's why maybe that helped a lot because I was quite easy until I left the vessel. And
you swam from board, huh?
I swam from board, yes, and it was quite cold. It was more or less 2 degrees. Yeah, it's winter time in the English Channel. What do you expect? It's not that. That's not that Caribbean area. So I was after half an hour in the water. I was able to enter those life saving float, and yeah, then what the vessel was gone, and we were picked up by a small Dutch vessel, a very helpful crew, which gave us a hot shower and some whiskey, which is nowadays not that a way where you, how you treat those people. And yeah, then I was brought back home, and my father called me and said, well, son, now it's done. Yeah, you're now convinced that this was the wrong way. I'm happy that you're still alive, but now you should be convinced that shipping is not the way you should proceed on. And I said, well, statistical wise, I wouldn't expect another experience like that. So that's why I should continue now. And yeah, nowadays, of course, this matter is something I'm thinking about, not all the time, of course, but for the matter safety on board, I'm taking care a lot.
But did you continue? Did you go back on board, not on board of the EMS, but on board of another ship after this incident?
After that incident, I was going to the sister vessel, the Nestor, and that was also built by Meyer. And happy I was because that vessel was going to Japan.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how has it changed your way of life?
I wouldn't say the way of life, but taking care for the matters at the shipping side, I'm taking care a lot of regarding safety. For me, it's the most important is that we do not harm any people, that we have no casualties on board where we have people involved. Everything more or less is insured. But if you have somebody who has been hurt or even died during a casualty, that's something I'm very, very scared of. And knock on wood, you have to think about that those scientists sometimes also are for the first time on board of a vessel. They do not know that suddenly a vessel is shaking like that, or is this movement of the vessel, is this the right one? And they should always be prepared that a vessel is doing another movement like ashore, if they are living ashore. So it's another living circumstance. And so having those young people sometimes on board, it's also a challenge for us, for our people on board, for our crew on board, especially the nautical officers, taking care for maximum safety for all of them, but especially for those young people being for the first time on board.
Thank you, Klaus Küper.
Thank you.
That was today's podcast episode. I talked to Klaus Küper, the head of the research department of the shipping company Brise in Leer. We continue here the same way, so I recommend subscribing to this podcast. And I would appreciate a positive review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Bye. Technology and the Sea. Fascination Marine Technology. A podcast by Bärbel Fehning in cooperation with the German Association for Marine Technology, GMT.